Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome to DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon, the unique blend of hunting, conservation, and the outdoor lifestyle, delivered in an entertaining, informative fashion that only a veteran outdoorsman can do. DSC Campfires is brought to you by DSC, Conservation, Education, and Hunter Advocacy. Hornady, accurate, deadly, dependable. Trigicon, brilliant aiming solutions. Ruger, rugged, reliable firearms. Burnham Brothers Game Calls, callingest calls made. Double Nickel Taxidermy, where hunting memories are preserved. Taurus, maker of the Raging Hunter and other fine handguns. Now here's your host, Larry Wysoon.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the DSC Campfire. And guess where we are today? We are on the Mescalero Apache Reservation, coming off of an absolutely fantastic elk hunt that we auctioned off at the DSC Foundation Gala back in July. Through the graciousness of the Mescalero Apache Reservation, we were able to procure a trophy bull permit. And those things are hard to come by on the res, and we'll talk a little bit about that here in just a little bit. But here with me today, I've got the gentleman that bought the hunt at the auction, and his name is Mr. Darren Rhodes, and we've got Mr. James Adams with us as well. He is the ace guide here, and we're sitting here on the res, and I'm swatting at flies as we're going by some horse flies. So if you hear me scream and holler every once in a while, you know why. But we've also got, there's a gentleman over here on the left. We've got a camera guy that he and I have done some business together in the past, Mr. Jeremiah Bennett, and Jeremiah's been with me on several different hunts. Well, gentlemen, we're here on the Mescalero Apache Reservation, just finished an absolute fantastic hunt. James, let's start out with you. Where's the Mescalero Apache Reservation located?
It's in the southern part of New Mexico, southern central part of New Mexico. We're roughly about 476,000 acres.
That's a fair-sized chunk of country, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It encompasses a lot of different types of habitat, too, Dan, in terms of mountains and country, low country as well?
Low country, high country, anywhere from aspen trees, spruce trees, to, you know, oak brush, juniper, pinon trees, just all sorts of different varieties of terrain here, you know, from elevations from 5,000 feet to 12,000 feet.
I knew I was getting out of breath several times. I understand. Well, tell me a little bit about some of the animals that you have here. I know y'all do have a cattle operation as well, too.
Yeah, we've got cattle, horses, wild horses, elk, deer, mule deer, and whitetail, coyote, mountain lion, fox, gray fox, turkey, Merriam turkeys, and I think that's about it, I think. Of course, you got all your rodents and stuff.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. And a fair number of bear, too.
Oh, yeah, and bear, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, these are black bear. I shot my first black bear just off the reservation years ago between the reservation and the city limits of Ruidoso, so kind of where I got my start on bear hunting. Now, we sold this hunt this year to the DSC Foundation, and the DSC Foundation, our job is to make money so that we can give money away to extremely well-vetted projects dealing with conservation and education. And Mr. Darren, you were the one who bought the hunt this year. Is that right?
Yes. It was kind of funny because I almost didn't. I got the hunt, and then my card didn't clear the whole thing. So I stayed up quite late to get it, and it was kind of frantic because then I thought I wasn't going to get it. But I did get it. Extremely glad that I did. It's been just been anticipating it for a couple of months since I got it. Had a gun that I purchased a few months ago before that, and was able to use that here, and it's just been, I'm from elk country, but it's this is phenomenal. The amount of elk that you see every day, just the whole operation with how they take care of them, the guides, it's been really pleasure to get to know, be with James the last 5 days and hunt, get to know him and rib each other and a lot of laughing, probably more than we should, but it's, to me, that's what the hunting's about, and seeing all the other things too. White tail that we've seen, the horses, the deer, just everything. It's just been a great, great hunt.
Well, before we get into you telling about the hunt, you mentioned the conversation that was going on. There were quite a few interesting conversations going on through the hunt, were there not?
Yeah, it's kind of the old what happens in. Happens on the mountain, stays on the mountain.
Yeah, so we're not going to talk about what we talked about.
Yeah, but no, we had a lot of, that's part of hunting to me, is camaraderie that you have with the people you hunt with and getting to know, you know, them, tease each other. Hopefully not upset each other too bad, but it's, yeah, that's been a big part of the fun for me, is just that part of it, getting to know you and Jeremiah and James and Josh, his brother, and it's been a lot of fun.
You know, it really has, and I think to me a big part is the people who you're with on a hunt. And yes, to me, that can make or break a hunt. You can be on a hunt where you see the biggest animals ever, and you were somebody, you go, man, I can't wait to get away from this guy. But I want to tell you something. I've hunted a lot, and spending the time with you two particularly, of course, Jeremiah and I've spent some time in the past, but being new to you guys, y'all are top-notch, both of you. I'll tell you, this has been such an interesting hunt in so many different ways. Jeremiah, I'm going to ask you a quick question. You were here as the camera guy, and this is being filmed for?
Trigicon's World of Sports Afield.
And that's produced by Safari Classics, right?
Yes, out of Dallas, Texas.
Out of Dallas, and of course, they also do a lot of the messaging for DSC and DSC Foundation, too. And as I mentioned, this hunt was sold through the DSC Foundation. And thank y'all so much. I hope this becomes an annual event, because this is such a special place in so many different ways. You were born on the here in this area? Or?
Yes, sir. I was born on 1981. Born actually,
well,
at
your
the hospital.
Kid,
yeah,
in a hospital,
in the hospital on Mescalero, yeah, in 1981. So.
Well, your dad's also been involved here a long time, hadn't he?
He was the hunt director for 19 years. Something
really?
Like that. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And you mentioned Josh, his brother, your brother too. Your brother Josh is very much involved here as well, too.
Yes,
right?
Sir. He's actually, Herman Sines, the hunt director's assistant, or. He's actually the meat processor there at the hunting lodge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the head meat processor. So,
and that's one of the beauties about this particular place. I mean, tell me about your elk, not the first one. Now, the beauty of it is here, because it is the reservation, you can take more than one elk. Y'all control the numbers in terms of management, but an individual can also take more than one animal a year, can't he?
Yes, sir. Yep, more. And we get, I think our resource committee picks on exactly how many tags we get to sell, how many tags the hunt department gets to issue as far as trophy and the management tags. And I don't know the exact numbers on it, but I know it's quite a bit.
And that probably varies from year to year, based on the population, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it does.
And it's very difficult here. You can't just say, well, I want to come hunt Mescalero and get a trophy tag.
No, it's usually the guys that come the years prior, they get first choice to come back.
Yes, sir.
And if they don't come back, they usually send somebody in their spot.
Yeah, so once kinda, the position is procured,
yes,
here, it stays pretty much,
yes,
doesn't
sir,
it?
Yes, sir, yep.
To me, that was one of the uniqueness as far as this hunt was concerned, is that really the only way that you as an individual could come on this hunt was to, you know, with that permit, yeah, kind of thing. So, but we were talking, this is a full service operation here, right? I mean, y'all take care of pretty much everything.
Yes, sir. Horses, lunch, breakfast, supper. The guide is also the guide fee is also in the purchasing of the tag.
Yes, sir.
I think I stated everything, the horses, the lunch, the breakfast, the supper, the guide.
And then you've got Woodbury Taxidermy here to
Woodbury,
take care of.
And Woodbury does process the standard process. And if you decide to do extra, of course, it's extra cost. But, yeah, it's a standard process. It comes
yes, sir,
in the package. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they do an absolutely fantastic job. Derek is here, but I knew his family for a long, long time from years ago. They're down close to Kerrville, close to Ingram, but they do a fantastic job on taxidermy and also on the meat cutting thing.
Great people.
And that's where I was going to go. This is really kind of a full service thing, because tell me about the second bull that you killed, where you shot him, and what happened later.
Well, the second bull was what I came after, a trophy bull. We was able to find him night before last, and we had bull on actually both sides of the ridge. We ended up going up, went for a pretty good hike, but when we got up into where we were in between the two bulls, the bull that we'd seen from down below, James got him, had him marked where he was, had me come over and look at him. When I seen that he had those two cheaters on both sides, pretty much matching cheaters coming off sides, big curled up fronts, and that's what I wanted was a bull with really big fronts, big find at long tines, and a little character. As soon as I seen those matching cheaters on both sides, that kind of sealed the deal what I wanted to do. So able to get a shot into him. Couple maybe not where they're supposed to after that, but then finish the deal. James was telling me to reload before I actually shot the first time, I think. So, but it was, yeah, able to get him down. Just a beautiful, beautiful bull. Everything I could have hoped and what I wanted to try to get here.
So,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about getting him off the mountain. I mean, I was there for a part of that.
Well, I've been the getting up the hill to him, and the area he was in is a little more what I was used to, the elk hunting I'm used to from where I'm from.
Yes, sir.
But the getting him out when they said we wasn't going to be having to cut him up and pack him out, I didn't think there's any way to. I was trying to figure out how that we'd be able to get that bull out of there with cutting him and packing him out. But they got a bike up to the top of the ridge. We'd winch 10 feet, move 10 feet, tie off, move up 10 feet. Finally got him. James and Josh kept saying, "We're getting there. We're getting there." me and Jeremiah were kind of having some different conversations.
I've never seen anything like that.
What about that? And then
it
we got
awesome.
To the top. They loaded him, got him up the back of the bike on this wood ramp, which we had another conversation. Jeremiah says, "Oh, this isn't going to last on these rocks." Made about 10 feet, and they ended up tying him up to the top of the bike, getting his head up, and then he actually, once they got to the top with the bull going down, I mean, it was dark. We got home, 12:30 the other night? So it was about 10:30 time we got to the top with him and taking him down off there. Me and Jeremiah couldn't keep up with James on the bike and Josh going down through there. It was just, yeah, I've never seen anything quite like that getting down off the mountain. But they were determined.
We were glad to see the headlights of the truck.
Seeing the headlights of the truck, and a little worried about going off that other side or where we was going to come out.
Crazy Indian boys.
Well, you know what? I didn't come down with y'all the way y'all did. I went off the backside the way that they brought that four wheeler up. that thing was steep. I don't know how they ever got it up there to begin with.
Crazy ending. Crazy.
Through lots of choy and cactus and rocks and
sharp rocks too. Yeah. I'm back in the test.
I tripped over a stick and took a digger, hit my knee on the rock, you know, but at least I salvaged the camera, you know.
Yeah.
It's all when the cameraman falls, the only thing he's thinking about is don't destroy the camera.
You're right. That is a priority. I remember a few times in the past being a cameraman where he slipped and fell, and he's in rocks, and I mean, he's bleeding and all that. You see the hand stuck up like this, and the guy saved the camera. But I guess that's part of it as well too.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, James, what got you into hunting?
My dad.
Your dad.
Yeah. Ever since I was, golly, if I can remember, in Pampers. I remember standing up in the passenger seat, hanging onto the dashboard, you know, riding around with him, and, you know, that was a long time ago.
What about you, sir?
Same thing. That's my dad and my grandpa, my mom's father. He was a butcher for many years and butchered a lot of deer and elk over the years. And he put me behind the saddle on his horse, tucked me under his chaps, and build a fire and take care of me. My dad killed most of the deer, but yeah, that's where I got his love for most of the things I enjoy, hunting, the business I'm in. My dad got me started in that, my father, and that's kind of where my boys have got their love of hunting is hopefully from me a little bit, and kind of. They have a great love for wanting to hunt and be in the outdoors, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. People ask me when I first started in hunting, and I go, I can't remember. You know, my maternal granddad, same way, would take me fishing every day, almost. And my dad loved hounds, loved horses, and so we deer hunted. We didn't have any deer in there to speak of, but we deer hunted nonetheless, kind of thing. But I think it's so important, you know, and unfortunately not a lot of people these days, they live in all kinds of different situations, don't have the advantages that we do. And I think that's one of the reasons why things like the DSC Foundation is so very important, is that because the money's raised that we can assist those programs that get those kids out in the outdoor kind of thing a lot of times. We're involved in all kinds of different projects, and the money raised from what you paid for this hunt will go a long way to helping all kinds of different conservation projects. We get the many grant requests, and we vet those projects to the infinite T kind of thing, and then we grant what money we can to the ones we feel like are most in need at the time. You mentioned the wild horses here. A lot of people think wild horses are really cool, and I guess they are, but how did they get here? Were these just some that the settlers left many years ago?
I'm guessing, too. I mean, ever since I've been a little boy, I've seen them. They've been here, and I'm guessing it's probably from the settlers. Yeah,
settlers,
from,
or,
yeah,
yes,
from,
sir.
Yeah, from
or just horses,
ago,
that,
yeah.
horses that got away,
yeah,
kind
I
of thing.
I think some of them, you know, were let go, feral horses that,
yes, sir.
That people have let go, but... Yeah, I think they've been here for years and years and years.
Well, they're all different colors. I mean, there are a couple times we ran into herds where in one instance, I noticed there was a real white-looking stallion. I mean, he wasn't a palomino or anything like that. He was almost snow white, kind of thing.
Yeah. Paints. We got, you know, Appaloosas. We've seen Appaloosas.
Oh, really?
Bushes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we saw one the other day.
That Buckskin, looked, yes, I think. He bought it out of Buckskin a couple of days ago.
There was one up there the night we killed the bull.
Oh yeah.
Was there?
Yeah, remember we
across the canyon.
Real white, real white in the palomino.
Yeah. Above the bull. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I got him on film when he was running up there. Initially, when we got on the bull, on that bull you're talking about, there were wild horses there.
Yeah, they were.
And I was really concerned they were going to spook them.
Yeah, because they. I don't know if it was the bull that they or us that they winded, but they there's one of them snorted a couple of times.
I saw it was us.
I think they smelled us.
Yeah.
He was fixing to get shot if he messed up.
I love wild horses, but not you.
Yeah.
Not today. I'm stuttering around here because I'm trying to think of about four or five different things at the same time. a lot of meat comes out of this as far as the elk. Do most of the hunters take their meat home with them, or do some of them donate it as well, too? Or?
Most majority of them do take their meat home with them.
Good.
And then some do donate. I think some of it goes to the elderly people here.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but I know that the hunting lodge, as far as my brother being the head processor, I know he has something to do with, you know, distributing the meat like that, that people, you know, the hunters don't take home with them.
Yes, sir. I know with my bull, unfortunately, my freezer is just about full, so I'm taking just a little bit back, and we're donating the rest. And that's kind of what Derek had told me. He said, we've got a set up here, and he said it should go, you know, they'll grind a lot of it up as well, too, and it'll go to the elderly. So that's kind of a neat way somebody can help a little bit as well, too, in case you can't take all the meat home. With the bull that I shot, You did an absolutely fantastic job of calling that sucker into my lap. That was one of the most fantastic mornings I've ever been with elk. We got in there, and no sooner we stopped the truck, and I'm going to let you carry it on from there.
Yeah, we got off the truck, maybe walked 200 yards, and I just kept blowing the cow call, and they kept coming off the hill. And I just come around the corner and seen this bull coming off the ridge, and I could tell that he was missing a third point on him, and I just blew him some kisses with a cow call, and here he come running in. We got set up, and I'm glad you guys got good footage of it. Got a great shot, kill shot.
Oh, man. You could have killed that bull with a bow.
Yeah.
Easily.
With a pistol.
I mean, well, let's if we're talking about me, let's talk about it being a pistol as opposed to a bow.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to put
you know I shot my last critter with a bow in 1984, and then I grew up.
And then you grew up. Yeah. I know.
There were several well within pistol range that morning. Even for me.
That was just sad. I mean, those bulls were coming in like crazy.
Oh, yeah. They were hot that morning. Yeah, they were.
And they were bugling all around us. But even the first morning we went out, you know, we got into bulls. We were right in the middle of bulls the whole time.
Yeah. Pretty good morning. Well, all the mornings, I think we had pretty.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Pretty hot. Yeah.
And the one evening was pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah. Great evening.
Yeah, great evening.
Yeah, great evening.
Well, Mr. Cameraman.
Yes, sir.
With following these guys around, what are your thoughts? You can be very candid. I mean,
you can be mean.
You can,
yeah, you've been mean to me all week.
Here's your chance. It's your opportunity.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that to him. I mean, I wish Darren would have shot a little better. That definitely makes my job easier when I've got a hunter that drops an animal right in the tracks.
Well, I'm going to interject something right there real quick, because he normally shoots Hornady in that load,
really?
That rifle.
Yeah.
And he couldn't find any Hornady ammo, so he had to switch to another brand.
Ammo.
So that explains it, right?
That's right. There was none available. There was none available.
Okay. Well, you're excused. But, no, man, I've just had an absolute amazing time, you know, with these guys. James has done an amazing job this week getting us on the elk and getting us right in there where we need to be. What can I say? It's just been a great experience. It's always a great experience with you, Larry. I mean,
well, it's always, we're going to have fun regardless of what we do.
Yeah.
I'd have had a great time whether I'd pull the trigger or not, but being able to pull the trigger on this thing made it even more special. You know?
Yeah. We've come out of this deal with some really good footage, though. I mean, we've got a lot of elk footage, a lot of hunting footage. I think it's going to make a great show for Trigicon's World of Sports Afield. And I'm just happy to have met these two guys. I feel like I got a friend, you know, a couple friends for life, which,
Same here.
I run into that in this line of work. And, you know, hunting is just one of those things that we're all kind of kindred spirits, you know, I don't know how many friends I've made, you know, just because of hunting alone. I've got friends all over the world now because of hunting and what I do. And I'm just glad to have met you guys. It was an awesome time hunting with you.
Same here, man. I appreciate it. Friend for life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would love to come hunt the Mescalero myself sometime.
Yep.
One of these days. So
yeah, this hunt to me has been what hunting should be. I mean, I've been a part of hunts up home where, you know, it's inches and And that's all that matters, and take a photo, and, you know, you don't care about the animals or actually, you know, the people they're with or anything. It's just kind of a, but this has been, I mean, it's, I told you the first night, you know, part of the reason that I wanted this hunt was I've always wanted to meet you.
Well, I'm truly honored.
And you did not disappoint in any way. It's been a pleasure to get to know you and tease you and have you tease me back.
Absolutely.
James, but yeah, it's like, I feel like I've met and Russell and all of them. It's just, I feel like I've made some friends in 5 days for life. And that's, to me, that's what it's all about. Not the, you know, the hunting world, a lot of it anymore gets so caught up in, you know, the first thing, when I sent pictures home, a lot of people I sent pictures, that's the first thing they said, what's the score? I'm like, I don't care. This is, you know, got to bring my sweetheart with me. Hasn't got to spend a whole lot of time with me, but she's been able to do the other things that the reservation has to offer, the golfing and shopping and things, and just relax and enjoy it and have her with me. And that's been something we haven't been able to do a lot over our 33 years of her tolerating me. And yeah, it's been a great week. It really has.
You mentioned several things. The beauty of it is this is an ideal place to bring your wife, because of the facilities and the food, and you know what you have here at the Inn of the Gods is such a fabulous place to begin with, and then you're just down the road, or up the road, I guess, from Rio Doce as well too.
Right.
So it's a great place to spend time, and even if you don't come hunting, there's some people that like to hit that little white ball around. I noticed there was a bunch of folks doing that, you know. I kept sitting up there on my balcony looking at the little balls and going, man, I bet I could hit that with that 300 ultra bag.
You can, I can.
But it'd be fun to shoot.
I need soccer size at least to hit them.
Yeah,
you know,
one of those yoga balls, one of those, like.
Yeah, big.
Yeah. You know?
But there is a lot worse, you know, and you mentioned the kids and stuff, you know, there's a lot worse things you could do than be hunting. I know that a lot of the world don't view it that way, you know, a lot of people don't have a good taste for hunting and stuff, but that most of the ones that they don't understand it.
No.
You know, they don't understand the conservation, the good that comes from, you know, from hunters and the dollars and the things that they spend. And there's just me with having kids, you know, having boys that love to hunt and be out, and instead of these, you know, doing everything with their hands, get them off the couch, and there's a lot worse things they could do than spending time out and what God's created for us. It's just
that's what I was going to say. I mean, there's no telling where I would be in my life if, you know, had my dad not started taking me hunting at such a young age. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it was a lot of trouble once I got in high school, because I was a high school athlete, played football every Friday night. He kind of complained, you know, because he'd have to wait for my football game to be over. And if we had away games, sometimes it was midnight before we got back, you know, to our home school. And then he would be there waiting for me. And I would literally get out of the shower in the locker room, jump in the truck, because I'd already have all my stuff packed and ready to go. And we would leave. We were going hunting every weekend. And had it not been for, you know, me coming from such a long line of hunters in my family, you know, my grandfather, my uncles, my dad, and it's always just been a way of life for us. And had I not had that growing up, you know, I don't really know where I'd be. I might have got in some trouble or something like that, but you know, they always say if you'll take your kids hunting, you'll never have to hunt for your kids.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm just thankful that I'm thankful that I was brought up in a hunting rich family, you know, that hunting was an important part of our lives. And I'm just really thankful for that.
When you were talking about that, I was remembering a story about a dear friend of mine, Jay Wayne Fears, out of Alabama. He was playing football. He played the end position, and his dad told him, he said, if you're not home from that football game by the time I'm ready to leave at a certain hour, you're not going to go hunting. He said, they threw me a pass, and he said, I wasn't about to be tackled. He said, I scored the touchdown, laid the ball down, and just kept on running to get home and tried to go hunting the next day. Until you mentioned the inches thing, you know, so very often these days we get caught up, and I appreciate the fact I never saw tape. Yeah. And we had on you, Jeremiah, you posted several Facebook things, and there was one comment, you know, great, what did he score? And so I responded to that and says, absolutely fantastic hunt. I don't think we'll ever know what he scores, you know, because I don't care.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter.
To me, like with having Woodbury taxidermy involved, I have a lot of taxidermy, and part of that is to have it, put it on the wall in respect for the animal.
Yes.
But also, every time I look at that mount, I can recall every little minute detail of that hunt.
Yep.
And to me, that's really important as well, too.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Crazy little Indian boy.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I know this much.
That'll be the first thing that comes to my mind is the drag off the mountain.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I get tickled, too, because we'd be glassing, and I'm glassing down the flats, and James is glassing up on the hills, and I kept telling him, you're glassing too high.
You're looking too high over there. You're looking too high over there.
James said, we get high enough, we'll be looking down.
I think that was his thoughts, by the way.
Death comes from above.
Yeah.
Death comes from above.
It did that, Dick.
It did. This has been an absolutely fantastic hunt. We're going to close this thing out. But before we do, James, what's the best way if somebody wants to learn more about the Mescalero Apache Reservation, and particularly maybe the End of the Gods, where can they find out more information about it?
Best place is probably to call the Hunt Lodge, the Hunt Department. I think the website, the End of Mountain Gods, you can pull up the hunting department on it. If not, you can. They can be reached at 575-464-9770.
Would you repeat that phone number one more time, please?
575-464-9770.
Thank you. I want to close it out here and just tell you that over the years, I've hosted a lot of hunts for different charitable organizations and all that kind of stuff. And you, Mr. Rhodes, have been, you're the best one. I may make some people mad, but, you know, that I've hunted with in the past. But let me tell you, you're the best gentleman that I've ever seen on a hunt. I can't wait to spend more time in the woods with you. And, James, I'm coming back next year, but I'm going to start earlier and not just walk up and down a few stairs so that I won't be but about 200 yards behind when we're walking away. But I noticed that whenever things got to the point, you were slowing down. Let me catch up, and I appreciate that as well, too.
Enjoyed it, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you'll have the opportunity to come spend some time here on the Mescalero Apache Reservation down in New Mexico and get in touch with the End of the Gods. And it's an absolutely fantastic facility and great area. And thank you all again so very much for helping us with conservation through the donation to the DSC Foundation. We can't thank you enough for that. And you, Mr. Rhodes, I look forward to seeing you next year. Hopefully same time, same station.
Somebody's going to have to stay up late to get it away from me. So I got two boys that were... They're coming next year. So,
fantastic.
Yeah. Well, if I don't shoot them all this year, I still got a half a day.
Yeah, we still got some hours left in the hunt, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, thank everybody for joining us around the campfire here, and we look forward to you joining us right back here at this time, same place, same station, all that kind of good stuff next week.
Thanks for joining us around the campfire. To leave a comment or suggestion for an upcoming episode, go to Instagram at Larry Wysoon Outdoors. Please join me right here next week for another DSC's Campfires.
DSC Campfires with Larry Wysoon has also been brought to you by the Texas Wildlife Association, working for tomorrow's wildlife today, TRHP Outdoors, Kennetrek Boots for the trails less traveled, Boyt, the finest in hunting gear, Pyramid Air for all things air gun, and Ripcord, Rescue Travel Protection.
In wild country, Rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.